Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our devotion this evening is recorded in Paul's second letter to Timothy. We read in the fourth chapter, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, over the past weeks, we have learned again that there is much for us to pray for with the Lord's Prayer. The final two petitions of the Lord's Prayer may be taken together. Last week, when we talked about the sixth petition, we spoke about our fight against evil in a negative way, lead us not. In the seventh petition, we speak about our fight against evil in a positive way, where we call upon God, deliver us. So sometimes those are talked about together. This evening, we're going to talk about the seventh petition as it stands all by itself. In Greek, the word that's translated in English, evil, is a masculine pronoun that really means the devil. The seventh petition really is deliver us from the evil one. And in this petition, then, we direct the total emphasis of our prayers, the total weight of our collective position, of our collective petitions, against Satan and against all the evil that he brings into our lives. For even as we pray these petitions, our arch enemy constantly is throwing up barriers to prevent those petitions from coming from our hearts and from getting to God. Luther, as he always did, summed it up quite well in one sentence in the Large Catechism. What are we praying in the seventh petition? Dear Father, help us get rid of all this trouble entirely. So the seventh petition really is our prayer that God deliver us from the evil one and all the evil he creates in our lives. How fitting that is that we then look at this petition on Maundy Thursday evening, where we review the institution, meaning, and blessings of the Lord's Supper. Holy Communion is one of our strongest weapons in our defense, in God's defense of us against Satan, against the evil one, the devil. Because of the body and blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary's cross and given to us under bread and wine, what do we fully expect? That when we pray, deliver us from the evil one, that our God, for Jesus' sake, will do just that. We turn our attention in our sermon text to the Apostle Paul as he wrote this last letter in the closing days of his life and career on earth. Paul was imprisoned in Rome and soon would be executed. He wrote this final epistle to Timothy, a young pastor in the city of Ephesus. And in this letter and in this verse, the Apostle Paul confesses his trust in the veracity of the seventh petition. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is our prayer when we pray the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us. Rescue us from every evil attack. Deliver us from the evil one who is behind every evil attack. And protect us and deliver us, especially at the moment of my death. Bring me safely into your kingdom for eternity. And for those assurances that God does rescue us from every evil attack, and that he will bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom, we give all glory to him as our God. If someone asks you, what is the definition of evil? How would you answer that? I'll suggest this evening that evil is everything that God knows and judges to be not good for us. Evil is everything that God knows and judges is not healthy for us, either spiritually or physically. Evil is everything that God knows is deadly to us, is dangerous to our souls, is dangerous to our peace and our joy and our hope in Christ. Evil is the devil trying to destroy our saving faith in Jesus Christ. This fallen angel and all the other fallen angels with him want to destroy our faith. They are like a roaring lion seeking to devour his prey. And so we pray in the seventh petition, Our Father in heaven, deliver us from that evil one. Rescue us from those demons and from their evil attacks. We know that Christ has destroyed their power over us. But they set traps, they set snares, they set temptations for us to lead us into sin. Show us those, rescue us from those, so that we don't fall into sin, so that we don't listen to the evil one instead of listening to you, that we don't hear his lies rather than your truth. There are many things in this world that you and I recognize immediately under that definition of evil, but there are some things that we don't recognize as evil. We don't recognize the spiritual danger there. We don't recognize that that is going to be something that is going to go against God's will for us. Or this might be something harmful or detrimental to our faith or to our bodies or to our lives. And so when we pray, deliver us from the evil one, we're saying, God, you know what will hurt us, what will harm us, what will kill us spiritually. Deliver us from those things that we don't even recognize or know will destroy us. And there are those times when God does permit a messenger of Satan to come into our lives and stay in our lives. The Apostle Paul had one, didn't he? We don't know exactly what that was, but Paul said, I prayed three times that God would rescue me from that. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so even when we have that evil in our lives, our God delivers us from it by using it for our good, by turning it for our benefit. And so, Paul wrote, after God didn't remove that messenger of Satan, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. The seventh petition finds its final and perfect fulfillment at the time of my death. Paul knew that. Paul was fully anticipating and expecting that soon a Roman soldier would put a sword to his neck. But he knew that even by that action, God would be rescuing him from every evil attack. All those evil attacks that he had to go through his life. All the evil attacks that he wouldn't have to go through in the future, because he would be with his Lord. And he trusted that God would bring him safely into his kingdom. And so the Apostle Paul went to his death, trusting that God would hold on to his hand, that God would lead him through the uncertainties that surround our deaths to the certainty that surrounds our deaths. We all are afraid to die because we don't know how or when we're going to die. But we aren't afraid to be dead, are we? Because we know we'll be in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I still remember a discussion I had with my supervising pastor when I was a vicar up in Neenah some time ago about the meaning of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. I don't even remember how we got off on the Lord's, while we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. But I still remember Pastor Schaefer telling me the ultimate meaning of the seventh petition comes to pass when you die. It is a prayer for a peaceful death. It is a prayer that God would hold on to you and take care of you at that last moment, that last instant, when the devil is trying to make you afraid and uncertain. That we have that assurance and the answer to that prayer that God will, through his angels and by the power of his grace, hold on to us and take us safely out of this world and into the next. Deliverance from the evil one, then, is just as certain for us in our deaths as it is for us in our lives. Listen again to Luther in the Large Catechism. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from this foe for a single hour. And for a single hour of my life, for that single hour of my death. That certainty, that assurance, brings us then to the means of grace, particularly to the Lord's Supper on this Maundy Thursday. Because that certainty, that assurance, doesn't come from us. It comes from the Holy Spirit working in the gospel, in the means of grace. And so when we sing the doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, and then we add our amen, this is certainly true, we do those two things by the power of the gospel. We give God the glory because of the gospel. We say that all those things are true, so be that, because of the gospel. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted a means of grace that would enable us not only to be brought to faith, but also a way by which he would keep and preserve us in faith by using often this memorial meal. After supper, after they celebrated the Passover, Jesus took the same elements that were on the table, unleavened bread and grape wine, and he instituted a new meal, The Last Supper was done. And now a new meal was given to the church. And that new meal would give his church the power to fulfill the mandate from which we get the name Maundy Thursday. Jesus said to his disciples, "A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you." And that's where we get Maundy Thursday, that command to love one another as he has loved us. And Jesus loved us with a total self-sacrificing love by shedding his body and blood on Calvary's cross. And he gave a miraculous way for you and I to often eat and drink that true body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine. It is a memorial meal by which we remember him. But it's not merely that. The Lord's Supper is not a memorial meal by which we simply remember that Jesus shed his body and blood on the cross. Nor is Holy Communion a re-sacrificing of that body and blood of Christ on the cross. Nor is the Lord's Supper a good work that I do as part of the worship service, which by doing I earn the forgiveness of sins by that good work. The Lord's Supper is the real presence of Christ's true body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine, by which God offers and gives the forgiveness of sins. And where God forgives my sins, there is life. There is spiritual life. And there is salvation. There is eternal life in heaven. The Lord's Supper is for us a means of grace. The means by which God imputes to us the forgiveness that he earned for us on the cross. A sacrifice that overcame death, that overcame sin, that removed our guilt, that destroyed Satan's power, that enables us to use even those things that the world believes are harmful to us for our good. The Lord's Supper, holy baptism, and the Word, the Gospel standing alone, are that means by which we receive the grace of God. In those things, every time you and I receive the Lord's Supper, we receive the Lord's passion. We receive the Lord Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. We receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation that he earned there for us. And so as we connect again the Lord's passion and the Lord's prayer, we see that we have great audacity now to pray the Lord's prayer and to pray all prayers, because they rest and are connected to the passion. They rest and are connected to the work of Christ. How dare I pray to God? How dare I have the audacity to go to God and ask him to deliver me from the evil one? My audacity to pray that way is in Christ. My audacity to pray that way is Christ. Because through his poverty, I'm a poor sinner, but he took my poverty of sin. Because he became poor, we are rich. And prayer is not a gamble with those riches. It is an investment of those riches in the sure faith of God's promises. It is my prayer that our review and our study of the Lord's Prayer and how it's connected to the Lord's Passion over these past weeks will prevent you ever from just mumbling the words of the Lord's Prayer coldly and thoughtlessly, but that the Passion of Christ will always enable you to request all things from the heart in humble devotion. Amen.